From Wondery, I'm Virginia Madsen, and this is Little Stories Everywhere. Each episode will bring you stories for kids that spark the imagination, take you to other worlds, and bring joy. This is the second and final episode of The Portal in the Pond.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and Friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Only in his wildest imagination did Aiden dream that his grandma's story was real. That he could visit a hidden world by jumping into a pond. And yet there he was, in the Topsy, speaking to a wonderful, colorful creature, a sea fiel named Wimbley. He couldn't believe his eyes, but deep down, he knew there was an urgent matter at hand. Wimbley, I'm looking for my grandma. She's a sweet lady about my height, with white fluffy hair and kind eyes. Have you seen her? Wimbley's fur shifted through a rainbow of colors, thinking. Aiden tried not to stare, but Wimbley didn't seem to mind. His fur settled into a soft blue before he replied.
Nope, never heard of her.
Aiden looked away in thought, and then his eyes landed on a scrap of cloth at his feet. The edge curled upward in the breeze. Aiden picked it up. This is my grandma's scarf. She's been here. Wimbley, you must have seen something. Wimbley nodded.
I might have, and I'd love to help you. The thing is, I've got a really big problem here. Maybe you could help me. Then I can help you find your, what did you call it?
Grandma. My grandma.
Right, your grandma. Well, you see, an evil king has plagued our land, and a great darkness is swallowing our world whole. Pretty soon, there will no longer be a Topsy. So that's what my priority is.
Wimbley turned gray as he imagined this possible dark future. Aiden, too, felt grim.
Well, that sounds terrible, and I'd love to help you, but do you think this is something that can be done relatively quickly? I need to find my grandma and get back to my world in time for dinner.
Well, it's taken years for this darkness to form and for our world to fall into peril. But you seem determined, so maybe you can solve this quickly.
Aiden was determined. He was ready for the challenge.
Oh, great. What do I gotta do?
Defeat the evil king?
Oh, no. Why hasn't anyone else been able to defeat him?
Wimbley turned a dull yellow and laughed uproariously.
I personally could never do it. I scare easily and have a weak bladder.
Oh, fair enough. I'll try and help.
Aiden looked at his grandma's scarf one last time and shoved it into his pocket.
Let's do this.
Off they went into the Topsy, passing through the beautiful flower fields into a vibrant wood. As they made their way, Wimbley introduced Aiden to some of his friends. There was Larrabee, a turtle-like creature who was the last of his kind. Larrabee was a rock biter, and his family had chomped boulders into smaller pebbles and creek rocks for ages. Aiden recalled the feel of those pebbles when he had climbed out of the pond the first time. Another jolly creature they encountered was Tresha, Aiden couldn't locate the source of her raspy voice at first because Tresha was the oldest member of the tree people, and her face was made of bark. When he realized this, he couldn't ignore a trail of sap oozing from her left eye. Wimbley assured him those weren't tears. Further nestled in the frequent clearings within the forest were a family of knitting nettles. These flower creatures had bristly limbs, good for holding thread, and were expert knitters. Aiden showed them Grandma's scarf, and they were impressed with the fine cross-stitch seam joining a blue floral half with a solid yellow one, but hadn't, in fact, seen his grandmother. For all the different and incredible creatures Aiden met, they seemed to share a common problem. They were all scared of the darkness consuming their world, which the knitting nettles had described aptly as an enormous blanket drawing over the topsy. When they emerged from the forest, the lush greenery stopped suddenly, marked by a jagged line of scorched earth that stretched in either direction. On the other side of the line was a nether realm of craggy rocks and a fiery canyon with a charred rope bridge crossing it. Overhead, as sure as the creatures of the Topsy had described it, he saw an ominous cloud slowly swallowing the sky. Thunder grumbled and lightning webbed across it.
Is that it?
Yes. This is the darkness.
Aiden reached into his pocket and clenched his grandma's scarf.
I don't know how I'm going to stop this, but where's the evil king?
Aiden looked around and realized Wimbley was suddenly nowhere to be seen.
Wimbley? Where did you go?
Aiden searched the surrounding area until he finally saw Wimbley. His fur had turned black as the cloud overhead.
Wimbley, come on. I know you're scared, but I won't know where the evil king is if you don't show me. And if I don't get to this evil king, my grandma will still be lost. So, come on. Let's do this together. I believe in you.
Slowly, as Aiden held his gaze, Wimbley's fur shifted to a deep, dark blue, and Wimbley rolled back his shoulders and stepped forward.
Okay, Aiden, let's do this, as you say.
Aiden chuckled and followed as Wimbley led the way. They crossed the rickety rope bridge over the great chasm and traveled through a rocky landscape until they came to a gray, lifeless mountain, on top of which a fortress of stone sat staring down at them. They continued on towards the castle with its high walls and no windows. When they were finally in front of it, only a jagged, menacing doorway greeted them. Wimbley stopped.
This is quite obviously the evil king's fortress.
So, what are we waiting for?
Aiden took the lead now, making his way through the very uninviting entrance. As they passed through the doorway, they entered into a giant shadowy room, lit with thousands of flickering candles. In the center of the room knelt a creature on a platform of black obsidian stone. He had a wolf's body, though his face was human, with piercing yellow eyes. His feet were hooves. Atop his head, he wore a crude metal crown, which hung at an angle.
"The evil king," whispered Wimbley.
Aside from being a little scared, Aiden had to admit this place was pretty cool. A loner king in his enormous castle,
Until a few years ago, Aiden had to share a small bedroom with his sister. He could only begin to imagine the possibilities of having his own fortress. Aiden stepped into the light of the nearest candles and announced himself.
Hi, evil king. I'm Aiden.
The king turned to face him. Aiden felt suddenly exposed as the evil king leaned back onto his feet and readied himself to pounce. In a flash, he disappeared into the shadows and was gone.
Was it something I said?
Aiden searched the shadows, but even though his eyes had adjusted to the darkness, he felt blind. And that's when he heard the rapid beating of hooves. It was too late. The evil king appeared and knocked him onto the floor.
Hey!
The evil king peered down at Aiden with his yellow eyes, breathing heavily. Where was Wimbley? As Aiden tried to sit up, the evil king pinned him beneath his hoof. Then a familiar voice echoed through the cavernous space.
Enough!
The evil king slackened his hold, and Aiden wrestled free.
Grandma!
Aiden rushed into her embrace.
I've been looking for you. We searched the woods and found the pond.
Her eyes gleamed as she studied Aiden. He removed the scarf from his pocket and handed it to her.
Then I swam here and I found this and I knew.
I'm so proud of you, Aiden. That was very brave to venture this far.
I had some help.
Aiden looked again for Wimbley but couldn't find him. And then his gaze fell upon the evil king who stood nearby.
I have so many questions, Grandma, but I promise to try and help the creatures of this world. My new friend Wimbley must be somewhere around here.
Grandma gently faced Aiden towards the evil king.
Aiden, I'd like you to meet Toby, the boy from the story I told you.
The evil king? He's a boy?
He looks very different than when we last saw each other. It has been many years. However, I see in his eyes that he is still my friend. My friend Toby.
The evil king looked up, shame and sadness in his eyes.
It seems Toby's life was just as enriched by our friendship as mine was. Except, in my absence, he's grown lonely and sad. Sad and angry, to put it mildly.
Aiden dusted himself off.
But there are so many creatures here, like Wimbley and Larrabee and Tresha. They could be friends with him. They're so nice.
That's a wonderful thought. And they might still be, but I'm afraid it was my love for him that he felt was forever unmatched. And so he let his darkness grow. That darkness got so big that it became a void, swallowing everything up like a black hole. You see, Aiden, in the Topsy, all you have to do is imagine something and it can become real. So, if you imagine darkness, then darkness will appear and eventually grow.
Aiden felt bad for Toby now. He knew what it was like to be sad and to feel lonely from time to time. But people like Grandma were always there to pick him back up. He knew firsthand the power of her love. Aiden watched as Grandma started to speak.
Toby, I see there is goodness in you. There always was, and there still is now.
Grandma drew the evil king into her arms, and Aiden watched her hands curl into his fur as she hugged him. Toby looked at him over Grandma's shoulder. He looked like he hadn't slept in a year. They parted, and Aiden overheard Grandma whisper, "You were always in my thoughts and in my heart. You never left me." Tears streamed down Toby's dark cheeks. The ground suddenly shook, and chunks of rock dislodged from the ceiling fell to the floor. Aiden felt a soft paw slide into his hands. It was Wimbley, whose large eyes were both sad and frightened. Aiden remembered the larger matter at hand.
"Guys, we have to save the Topsy."
Everyone turned to face Aiden.
"Oh, come on. Can't the darkness be reversed? Is there anything we can do?"
Grandma took a deep breath.
"Sadly, I think we're too late. At this point, the scales of light and dark have tipped so far into shadow that it would take very powerful forces to change it."
Aiden fidgeted, thinking. He had an idea.
"Grandma, didn't you say that in the Topsy, all you have to do is imagine something and it can become real?"
Grandma nodded.
"But something as big as the darkness."
"It's okay. It's like you said, story is the key to everything. And it's time for me to write my own chapter, to decide what happens next."
Grandma smiled warmly as Aiden continued. "I see that Toby is good and that, well, we all have good in us, light in us. And I've seen the other side of the Topsy, how wonderful and magical it is. And so it isn't hard for me to imagine this entire world as it once was. We have to go and tell everyone and get them to imagine too." Grandma tried to interject, but Aiden was not to be stopped. He was on fire with excitement, and that fire was catching. He led Grandma, Toby, and Wimbley out of the crumbling fortress and through the nether realm, which somehow appeared even darker than before. They made their way back to the beautiful woods, only to discover that the edge of the darkness had advanced, burning the woodlands to ash. The creatures of the Topsy had retreated to the flower meadows, which thankfully still remained, although the sky above was darkening fast. Aiden gathered them all. Larrabee, the last rockbiter of his kind, Tresha and her family of tree people, all the knitting nettles, and even a small troop of seafields, Wimbley's own kind. He formed a circle with everyone and spiritedly shared the story of Toby. They looked at him in disbelief. Slowly, Aiden insisted through his own tears.
"We have to believe in goodness. We have to believe the Topsy can return to what it once was."
A beam of sunlight began to poke through the clouds. This gave them all hope. They believed even more. And sure enough, the darkness receded. Even Toby embraced the warm light, his fur falling away, leaving a young boy standing in a crooked crown. Aiden's plan had worked, and now it was time for them to get back into their own world. It was a tearful goodbye as Wimbley and Toby guided Aiden and Grandma back to the portal in the pond. Wimbley shifted between his usual green and a deep blue. He gazed at Aiden with his large eyes.
"I hope you think of me from time to time, because if you imagine me, then I will always be with you, even on your side of the pond."
Aiden took his words to heart as they continued home. When they climbed onto the shores of their own world, Amelia was waiting for them.
"How long have you been here?"
Amelia looked confused and relieved at the same time.
"What are you talking about? You just fell in and I was terrified, but you immediately came back up. I forgot how good of a swimmer you are. And Grandma, you must have fallen in right before we got here, said Amelia. But we've been gone for a long time. We just had the most insane adventure.
Grandma pinched Aiden's cheek and winked. Aiden smiled back.
I've been thinking about it, Amelia, and I'm pretty sure I know what happened next in Grandma's story. I'd love to tell you about it.
Amelia groaned as Aiden and Grandma shared a knowing look, and off they went to get back and clean up just in time for dinner.
From Wondery, this is Little Stories Everywhere. This is the second and final episode of The Portal in the Pond, written by Jason O. Silva. I'm your host, Virginia Madsen. Brian White is our associate producer. Audio assistance by Sergio Enriquez. This episode is sound designed by Kyle Randall. Our story editor is Matt Wise. Our senior producer is Sochi Dorsey. Executive producers are Janine Cornelow, Stephanie Jens, and Marshall Louie for Wondery.